The Bird Show.
Let's give you guys a peek in our office here for just one second. You know, I've been bitching about the printers in the office for how long now?
Forever.
I specifically have one in my office that just flips me off every single day.
If you've seen the movie War Games, it's actually the printer that Joshua used.
Yes.
In that movie, 1979, Matthew Broderick.
I have never, and this is no exaggeration, probably twice. Twice in the 9 years that I've been here, I've hit print and actually had it print my document correctly. It's always warming up or jammed or whatever. Twice in
sometimes
9 years.
It just says F you on the screen.
Yeah.
It doesn't even say warming up. And when it does print, Bert has the same reaction as our $1,000 winner just a couple minutes ago. Screams. He's falling to his knees. Then he tries to remember what he was doing so he could reenact the same thing. Okay, I was chewing a piece of gum. I had a blue pen in my right hand and a notebook under my arm. And I think I was kind of kneeling on the chair. So the next day he reenacts that same.
I've tried to kill the thing. I mean, literally one day Jeff walked in here and there was like the blood residue of ink in my office because I thought I had finally killed it, and sure enough, they reconstructed it.
It was on your face, Braveheart.
It was.
He made it like a tattoo.
I was wearing it like war paint.
War paint, right.
He had tattoo, and then he tried to offer me a drink of toner, the way he used to drink the blood of the first animal you slay. Where it's like, have some toner, man.
And then it regenerated.
Yes.
So it did. It came back
to life.
Didn't
die.
It's like unreal. So I found out today, and my computer, my printer is not the only one of this model in the office. There are like four or five that are all the same.
And all don't work.
And all of them work the same way. They all suck.
Yeah.
They all suck. And I found out today probably why. And this is no joke. Brandon, when you went to check the printer today, what did you find out?
Manufactured in 1989.
What?
We have printers in our office from 1989.
Wow. I believe
it.
What?
Well, Melissa talks about she used to work. She got hired by Jimmy Barron when the morning X was baby. It was a lowercase X.
It was just a little X.
Yeah, it was a little tiny X.
And those printers were the ones that I used.
Yes.
What year were you born, Wendy?
85.
I was born in 88.
88. These printers are almost as old as intern Brandon.
Wow.
89?
Wow.
So now we know why, at least.
Yeah.
Well, can we get a new one?
No,
we can't get cups
about, like,
in here.
What about if we upgrade to like 1995? Can we get a 95 printer?
They said, you know, as soon as it breaks, we'll go ahead, we'll get new ones. But we've tried.
We can arrange
everything.
That to happen.
No, you can't.
This is the same office that has no cups, no coffee, no. I mean, like, we can't find anything. No spoons, no forks.
You can't
kill
it,
Brandon. Technology was bad before. I mean, it doesn't have to do with the company. The technology has always been bad. Like when we worked for a different company, it was terrible too.
1989 bad.
Right.
That's when it's been here from. And you can't kill it, Brandon. It's like that Chucky doll. It just keeps coming back.
I mean, I know people. They can make it go disappear.
Hey, you know what, though? In good news, though, is that printer turns 21 this year, which means we can buy it its first drink.
Yay! Yeah. Can we pour it on it so it just dies?
It won't die, apparently.
It won't die. Bert beat the ass out of it. Like, broke it. You were here.
I shattered it.
There are chunks of the printer in the garbage, and it disappeared. And there was a dust spot on his desk where it was. Because I remember, because I took a picture of it, a picture of the printer, and a little candle and a little cross, and I put it there. Like it was a roadside memorial. And the next day.
But Jesus came and saved it then.
Yes! It reappeared.
By Jesus, you mean our engineering staff.
And it actually scared us because Bert and I were in there, and I look over where my little candle was burning, and the printer was back.
It was like Chucky came back.
And I'm pretty sure I had the same reaction as all the people in the Burger King commercials when they look out, and the king is in the yard creeping out their window.
Or there's someone with small hands eating a cheeseburger.
Yes.
1989 printers. Okay, and then there's this on the air yesterday. Wendy, you want to reenact
happened on the air?
We actually have audio of this.
No, it was around 6 o'clock. I come in here to do afternoon traffic, and I'm just starting my traffic report, and all of a sudden, man down, Johnny freaking takes a spill. Like, I'm talking like it was like tree trunk just fell in the woods, and all I heard was a big wham. And granted, this is when I just started my traffic. So this is on the air, and I'm starting my traffic report, and all I see is Johnny disappear. I hear a wham, and then all of a sudden, I lose it.
Now, here's how the two tie in together, is that the chairs in here, most of them have one wheel on them that's just slightly off. Either if you lift the chair up, it falls, Or it's just you have to balance yourself on three wheels all afternoon long.
But he didn't notice that there wasn't a wheel on it.
And if that's the problem is we have to check. We have guests come in studio who are going to use chairs. Some people prefer to stand. If they prefer to sit, we actually have to physically look at the bottom of the chair.
To make sure we don't check kill a celebrity.
Because we have to make sure that all the wheels are on it because we've all come pretty accustomed to quick balance.
Sometimes it's a chair. It's like playing chair roulette.
Yes.
Like you don't know which chair you had, the one that has the third wheel. It's just jacked up until you're sitting in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's been a celebrity that's come in and we've all, no.
Don't sit there.
The chair out there.
I took a bullet for Chili once. Like, no. Jumped on the chair.
Right, so this is yesterday around 6 o'clock, and this is Johnny O Show.
Johnny
and you're just going to hear him take a fall.
Three right lanes blocked there as crews work that injury crash and vehicle fire dealing with the heavy delays all the way back to Highway 166. Taking a look at the top end 285 eastbound that earlier toll right around Chandler Dunwoody has been cleared. Seeing brake lights from there over to Spaghetti Junction all the way down to Highway 78. 75 northbound still around a 26-minute drive from the perimeter up to Wade Green Road and 400 northbound. Finally cleared out that earlier crash right around here McFarland. Traffic brought to you by Simply Farm Milk. When you have you.
So sorry, that was me falling out of my chair.
I couldn't identify the exact place where he fell.
It's, it's 2 seconds into it.
2 seconds in.
Three right lanes blocked there.
We're only laughing because Johnny's okay.
Let's talk about
three
Wendy's.
Three right lanes blocked there as crews worked that injury crash.
Yeah, he's done.
Let's talk about Wendy's laughing. Because here's the guy that you work with every single day, all of a sudden, falls. Like, gone. You can't even see him.
People falling is funny.
It is funny. Well, there's the moment that you realize they're okay. First, you're concerned.
Yeah. There
they're okay. And then it's a cathartic, I mean, it just got to get out.
Right. I understand that. But listen, there is no concern at all. Like, listen to the laughter start the minute he disappears.
There was
like,
no dramatic pause. It was straight laughter after he hit.
Maybe you should go
laughing.
Over and see if he needs a little restart of the heart or a Heimlich or a CPR or something.
Three right lanes blocked there as crews worked that injury crash.
There she goes.
She started laughing immediately.
Back to Highway 166.
She's literally crying right now.
Wendy does have like teenage boy humor though, because when y'all are watching those stupid videos where kids on skateboards like
and stuff.
hit their private parts
exercise
with stuff,
ball in the face.
She thinks that's hilarious.
Yes. Well, because I can only see Bert's head right now from where I'm sitting on my computer, so all of a sudden you just don't see Johnny out. Here's a big thud.
Well, the good news, Bert, that what you can be reassured by is if you're ever in the studio alone with Wendy, and your heart stops and you fall to your death under the board, that when one of us comes in, we will be alerted to your dire situation by Wendy's tears of laughter.
Q100, here's Wendy.
Oh, that's me.
Good luck with that.
You couldn't clear out some spots before this?
Get it? The Bert Show. You're on The Bert Show.
All right, let's have ourselves a generic conversation here about the definition of living with somebody.
Okay. Oh, right. Here we go.
What? I said generic. What do you mean?
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, we can start with you.
Why don't we define
exactly what living with somebody is. Jeff, you want to start?
I think, because, I mean, obviously, Jen is uncomfortable by this conversation.
Why is that?
I don't get it. Why?
I don't know. So why don't we let Jen throw out some scenarios, and then we could vote? Or you know what? No. I'll throw out some scenarios, and then you guys just, if you agree.
Gotcha.
Okay? Good? Fair enough?
Yes.
All right,
Jen, do you want to play along? Or do you need to go make a doozy?
Oh,
Jeff.
She already did in the last song.
So, all right. Obviously, you're living together if you... are both on the same mortgage or lease, right?
Oh, that's a given.
Yeah,
sure.
Course, yeah.
You're living together. So those people are living together.
Right.
Then there's also, I guess, leading up to, if one person is on the mortgage or lease and somebody else packs all of their boxes and moves in, you're living together.
And that's the only place that they have?
Yeah, it's the only place out of the two of them.
If they don't have another place, then they're living together. That's it.
Right, then they're living together, right?
Okay. Well, that's another scenario.
Yeah,
we're
working backwards here, Jen.
Exactly,
So let's be patient.
Yes.
Okay.
So we all in agreement that's living together, right?
Right.
Okay, now there are situations where people might have two places.
Mm-hmm.
okay? And if they have two places, it is, I think it's, do you think that they could have two homes yet still be living together?
Yes.
No.
Like,
yes.
For example,
yes.
If...
No. Well, what? Jen's the only one that disagrees, so let's...
Yeah. Why, Jen?
When you live together...
Where are we going with this, Jen?
When you live together, it means that you move in together.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like, all you do is, like... You have one place and you're living together.
Hey, okay. Jeff, can I ask? Have a scenario and see what you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if you spend 7 nights a week together?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you could have
living together.
You could have two separate places, uh-huh. But if the people are together 100% of the nights,
right?
Yes.
Are they living together?
I would say yes to that.
And each of them have a key on their key ring.
Why?
The ones that I use all the time.
Yeah,
I think if the key's on the key ring and not like in your cup holder in the car or somewhere right. Where you just have to dig for it a couple times a week, okay. If it's something you use every day.
Well, I think Jen here is probably the perfect one to ask because
really?
She's in
okay.
One of these beginning relationships
okay, yeah.
Right now. So Jen for
you're
you,
being quiet.
Would the definition of living together be where you guys are with each other in the same place 7 nights a week and he has a key to your place? Access to it all the time,
I
and vice versa.
I wouldn't consider that living together, no.
That is
you
not
wouldn't.
Living together.
And is that something that you wouldn't consider living together because you're trying to justify things in your own mind, even though everybody else in the world would say that you're living
I don't
together?
I think that's living together.
Did you buy a hair dryer for his house?
I did.
Okay. I mean, sorry, if a girl bought a hair dryer to keep at a guy's house, would that be living
hypothetically.
Together?
Hypothetically.
Well, a hair dryer is hard to pack in a bag a lot, mm-hmm. often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can't, and a girl can't live without it. I'm sorry.
Live. She live.
You know what? Let's go, because Jen's doing a lot of interrupting, so let's just go around the room here, and then I'll call on you, and you can give. Let's say in a hypothetical situation, if there was a girl, mm-hmm. okay, we'll call her Jill,
mm-hmm.
and she was dog-sitting, like, I don't know, half a dozen critters. There's, like, an abundance of animals at her house.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes over to her boyfriend's house. Let's call him Pooper Man. And she goes over to her boyfriend's house and brings all of those dogs for a full week.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be living together, Bert?
I think that's living together.
Wendy?
I think that's living together.
Melissa?
So seriously, the horde of animals went over to the boyfriend's house
for a whole week?
Yeah.
That's living together.
Okay. Does anybody else have any scenarios?
Like if he's got... enormous amounts of space in your closet or vice versa. Or there are, literally drawers and a dresser that are assigned to him. You guys are living together.
Yeah, Wendy,
so what if Jill is at her boyfriend's house uh-huh. by
Man.
Herself, but he's not there? Is that living together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, as long as, you know what I think the thing is.
I don't think it is.
As long as.
I don't think it
is. Jen is refusing to say that she and her new man here. Are living together, but they're with each other 7 nights a week. They've got keys. They've got real estate in each other's
no,
apartments and homes and stuff.
Are there toothbrushes at both houses?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a stash where you get ready at his place, and that's your living space. It's one of your living spaces.
I'm actually going to take Jen's side on this.
I just don't see it that
way.
Because living together.
No,
I'm going to take Jen's side on this because if you're living together,
moved in together,
you have to share household duties, and it's not like she's done his laundry.
Have you done his laundry?
Not much. I hate doing laundry.
But you have
done. What do you mean, not much?
I mean, like a couple pieces here and there, but not like.
So you have done his laundry?
Well, like, not much of it. No. Not really.
But you have washed his clothes?
A couple pieces of his clothes.
And he's got does he have any space at all designated just for him in the closet?
A little bit.
All right. A drawer.
Yes.
Hair products and toothpaste and stuff to get ready in the morning.
No, he doesn't have that stuff at my house.
Yes.
Does he have a toothbrush.
Does he have any of his own real estate in the shower?
Why do I feel like I have committed a crime and I'm like in one of those movies with like the light bulb swinging over my head?
I just think that if Wendy was giving us the same scenario.
You'd be all over.
I don't think
I think that you would give her a hard
together.
Time.
Yes, you have.
You're in the process of moving in together without the boxes. He's slowly moving into your place. He's not doing it on purpose, but you guys are living together.
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're really not.
Right.
I don't see it that way.
You're totally not. Were you alone last night?
No.
The night before?
No.
The night before? We can go right up till 7:15. We have no obligation until 7:15. How far back do you want to go? When's the last time
Why do I feel like I'm being interrogated?
Because you are.
We're just looking for a little honesty. Yes, I'm living with...
I'm not, though.
Come on. You guys have moved into the living with each other phase. Even though he has his safety nest, you guys are living together.
No, we're not.
When is the last time that you spent the night in your house alone?
It's been weeks. I don't know.
If you mean weeks, do you mean 52?
Because guess what? Many weeks become months. So
I mean, it's a happy situation. You're not in trouble. It's just right. I find it funny that you, I do believe that you would give one of Wendy or myself a hard time if the situation were the same.
In a heartbeat.
Here's somebody that wants to stick up for you here. Good morning, Q100.
Yes, hi. Good morning, Bird Show.
Hi. Good morning.
I love the show. I just want to say that I disagree with all of you guys because living together is when all of you guys, both of you live under the same roof for a long period of time. But if you come and go, that's not living together. You can even have a key, but that doesn't mean you guys live together.
But they're not coming and going. They're under the same roof every night. It just is one of two roofs.
Right.
But they have two separate houses.
Two separate houses.
Okay.
Exactly. And she has an accent, so she is credible.
She's from Sudan, by the way.
Let me ask you guys.
I hang up on them and don't let them say yes or no.
But it's so obvious. There's no need to spend that kind of time on it. Sudan.
Okay.
Let me ask you guys a technical question because I'm going to, you know what, Jen?
Let me ask you a technical question, Mr. Interrogator. Hold on.
I call technical question first. So, you know, Jessica and I have a place at the lake. Two roofs. So technically, according to Jen's rules, we aren't living together.
Even though
we're together 7 days a week just because there are two homes available.
That's not true. You guys both own them. You own them together.
His primary residence now, even though it's not official, is your place.
No, it's not.
He's there 7 days a week.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's back and forth.
Yeah, she was there all last week with the animals. At his place.
Well...
In Ackworth, right? Or Woodstock? Where are you?
Technical question for you, Bert. You and Stacy lived together before you got married, right?
We totally did.
Okay. And when you deemed that you were living together, that's when she moved you out of your old apartment and into hers.
That is true.
Over a weekend, right?
I would say that I was still living with like five other guys at Disgraceland, but I was at her house 7 nights a week. So really, I had my safety nest, but I was really living with Stacy.
But you would say Stacy and I lived together before marriage when it was your apartment together.
I would say that. Okay, that's a good point. I would say we officially started living together when she moved me into her apartment when I was on vacation.
And you shared one roof. That's my only point.
That's what most are saying. Hey, Sean, good morning. You're on Q100.
Thinking that if you have two separate places, even though you spend, you know, almost 95% of the time with each other, that's still not living together. You're separate. You have your own space.
Thank you.
Still kind of have your own life.
We have an out.
Thank you.
Let's just say it for what it is. You have an out.
It's your outhouse.
If you have a fight, you have a place to go.
It's just building up to that next thing. You know, it's like building up to that next level. But I wouldn't say that we live together. We don't.
You mean the boy and girl twins in the pink and blue stroller that you're pushing through Piedmont Park together?
I'm not saying it hasn't been talked about.
Sylvia, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to comment that I started to move in my stuff like slowly at my boyfriend's apartment. And then later on, he gave me a key. And then later on, I started moving in more of my clothes, more of my stuff. And then we just kind of ended up living together.
We
were already living together like when we met, pretty much.
I think the only difference here, I mean, as generally speaking, it's usually the dude that's moving into the woman's place because you guys have nice smelly soaps and everything's nice and clean.
Smells like girl.
Yeah, and clean dish. You guys use dish towels and stuff.
and you have potpourri. And that smells good. Little bowls of potpourri that you put on the toilet back.
Would you at least admit that this is the, it's the safe haven right before you officially move in together. I mean, this is...
But I...
It's the gateway.
I'm attempting to do things differently, so we won't move in together until something big happens.
So he officially wouldn't sell his place and live with you before you guys got married.
Right. In June.
Okay.
So, has he lived?
Don't say that. Joanna's listening.
Oh, yeah. Joanna's been IMing me to saying, just get it over with. Get married.
Listen, it's The Bert Show. This is The Bert Show.
Stacy and I are having a bit of a disagreement right now.
Okay, about?
We were out at Krog Bar on Saturday night. And while we were there, we ran into the vice president of the Braves. Is that,
Yeah, he's fancy schmancy guy. Derek Schiller.
Derek Schiller, okay.
He's VP of, I think, marketing and other such important teams.
I believe I've met him before.
He's the president of everything.
He's, you can just tell, you know, like there are some dudes that are just confident that you know that they're way up there in an organization. He was that dude.
Well, he's also 7'4".
Yeah, tall dude.
So he is way up there in the organization.
So physically, he's way up there. And okay. In terms of Braves organization, he's way up there.
Way up there. And I think I've met him before, but he spotted Stacy and I at Krog Bar. And he said, has anybody from the Braves contacted you yet about this softball game we're trying to put together? And I said, no, I haven't heard anything about it yet. And he said he's going to have somebody from the office call me. But it's a celebrity softball game mm-hmm. that's taking place inside the stadium.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So let's stop right now for just one second and let us reflect. I played baseball my whole life, people.
Right.
My whole life. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Through college, I played a couple of years of semi-pro ball.
This was your sport. Baseball's
this was my
your sport.
Sport. That's my sport right there, right? So to have the opportunity to play that game in a real major league stadium, mm-hmm. that is that would be a dream for anybody that's played
baseball.
Maybe
you know what? Maybe mm-hmm. you should wait. Just given your propensity for injury, you should just try to find the Paralympics and what and what yeah. major league stadium.
No, the Paralympians
in.
Still kick his ass.
Right now, you're right. So he told me that the game is going to be at the stadium, the TED, man.
When?
The TED at the end of June. Okay, so that gives me a month and a half. And for those of you that are new listeners, ooh. I busted my knee and just got off crutches last week.
You busted your knee. How?
Playing soccer.
And how long did it take you out of commission?
I'm still out of commission, so I can't answer that yet. But, I mean, I just got off the crutches. It was ACL and meniscus. So I said to Derek, I said, I will be ready. Sign me up.
Dude.
So Stacy, her knee-jerk reaction was, she says, this is like, in front of a whole bunch of people, she said, no, he's not.
Oh.
Oh,
boy.
And I said to Derek, yes, I am. And we squashed it, but then got into it on the car on the way home. And I said, Stace, you have to understand something. If you have the opportunity to play in a Major League Baseball stadium, you're playing in a Major League Baseball
next year.
Stadium. There may not be a next year.
There's going to be a next year.
Dude, you don't know what's going to happen.
You played softball with Chipper and McCann 6 months ago.
Here's my point, though, is that so I call my physical therapist up because Stacey's like, she's like, you guys, you can't do anything now. You've busted up your knee. Stay home and watch TV and don't do anything. My life is not over here. So I called my physical therapist up, and I'm like, dude, can I be ready for a June 26th game or something like that? And he said he was 90% sure he could have me ready for that game.
That's awesome.
That 90% is close enough to 100 for me. And in a celebrity softball game, you're not sliding and diving and crashing into dugouts and stuff
no,
like that.
Most people aren't, but you are.
That's what yeah. she said last night again. She brought that
up. I was going to say, when you and Jen played on that team, when mm-hmm. was it, a few years ago, and didn't you like dive into third or something? You uh-huh. were like, you know, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play hard, you know, and you were like over the top softball
I agree. If you're going to play a sport, then do it to win. That I agree. Mm-hmm. But this was my point to her last night. I don't want to go through this again. So why would I go over the top this soon? To get me back in this
Can't
position.
Can't you be a team manager or something?
No, well, they may need
Can
pads.
You play an outfield position?
You got to run in the outfield.
Yeah, you still got to pivot.
You ever
run.
Stood in the outfield of a major league ballpark?
See, but I think Scary. By that time, it won't matter. Like, I'll be able to run fine by the end of June. And then I went back in to my physical therapist and I said, look, this is the reason why I asked you to play. And he said, if that's the reason, we'll have it ready to go. So I'm going to be ready to go.
There's knee pads and braces. You got it.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
I'm not going to be diving or anything like that, right? It's not soccer.
Guess what? You went fishing and tore your knee in half.
My knee was already torn almost in half.
Your knee is still torn.
Oh.
It's not torn anymore. It's not torn.
You know what?
You just, if you do this, you have more responsibility than ever before in your life to make sure you are out of this healthy as you went into it.
Agreed.
Because your because I think where Stacy's coming from as the caretaker, that's it affected everybody around
Agreed.
You.
Agreed. Totally agree.
So that's where she's coming from.
Now, and this is what I can't understand from her side is that I've told her that the last 4 weeks, like I've seen the strain to put on everybody. So why would I sign up for a game where I would put myself in a place where I would do that again?
She thinks that's exactly what you're doing.
What do you mean? Why would you? You are.
I would not have okayed it had I not asked the physical therapist.
Did you think your knee
said,
was healthy before you played soccer?
My knee was healthy before
at 100%. Then you damaged it. Now it's not at 100%.
He's about to yell, Stacy.
But you can't just stop playing sports because you had knee surgery. There are plenty of dudes that go in there.
Wait 1 year.
No
You're
way.
Not an athlete.
I
Damn. I'm stepping on it.
Jeff, don't. What?
You are going to get your ass
beat. Nice to know you, Jeff.
Seriously? Did you just say that?
I mean, I'm
you
saying
just because you're Jeff. Wow.
Oh, no, you damn.
Hell no.
I'm talking about professionally.
I mean, Bert is as red in the face.
I know.
So
angry.
Wow.
Dude, I'm stepping out of the way.
Like, I'm saying, my,
I don't care if his knee is working or not. You're getting your ass.
You could call like
today.
Family member C words, and I wouldn't have been as offended.
Wow.
What I'm saying is, you're not a professional athlete.
That is true.
So you don't play. You're not a league. You're not like in a fast pitch baseball league. You're not in a soccer league. You're a recreational athlete,
which is why I'm telling you. Which is why I can handle this. Okay.
Stop talking, Jeff.
Here is Stacy. Hi, baby. Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, baby?
Oh, my butt's numb.
Save that, by
what's,
the way.
What are you doing?
I'm going to therapy.
Physical or mental?
Mental.
Yeah.
Is this a new one since Bert decided he's going to be the next David Beckham / Chipper Jones?
I gave you my word that I would not play in that game unless my physical therapist said, go for it.
I don't really care if he says go for it.
See, that's, I mean, I can't just.
So when would it be okay for Bert to play again?
Next year. Oh, he can play any sport he wants next year.
So he has to wait until January of 2011?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Whoa. That's not unreasonable.
That's not gonna happen. I can't do that. No.
No, because if we get asked to do that Brian McKinnon thing again, I'm making him do it.
I'm playing. Yeah. I mean,
I'm out of it.
That was easy.
I'm not saying anything.
That was
easy.
I don't
do conflict.
Now,
I'm
Stacey,
not messing with Stacey.
Stacey has never had a sports injury like this. Jeff has never had a sports injury, so you guys don't
How
have...
How do you know?
Come on.
And how come Stacey gets an injury like this and I've just never had a sports injury?
Come on. So you guys don't know how these things heal and how quickly they heal. I'm telling you, by the end of June, we're good to go.
And for your information, I had a carpal tunnel injury trying to solve Zelda.
Save that, brother. Save that.
So, baby, I'm telling you right now, I understand how sensitive it is. I understand that this puts you guys out, and I will not play in that game if my physical therapist doesn't say I'm not ready. I promise you that. But this is, you understand? You've been with me 16 years. When you have the opportunity to play in a Major League Baseball stadium, look, they may not even do the game next year.
You do hear everybody in the room, right, besides me.
Jen is cool.
Is telling you that this isn't what you should do.
Jen. No. I said by the fall you would be cool to play in that softball tournament that's at Georgia Tech.
Wendy after, was cool.
Not after the
baseball. I was cool, but Stacey's on the phone.
Not cool.
I promise, baby. I'm not going to play in it unless
you
Mark
can't
says
make
cool.
the promise that you're not going to get hurt, though.
Because I couldn't do that anytime.
That's what I'm saying. Is what would your therapist have said if you'd gone to them a week before you went out there and tried to bend it like Beckham?
He would have said, "Go ahead. Your knee's fine. Go ahead, play."
Right. So now you know your knee's not fine because it's healing.
It's totally. It's so casual, these things, though.
What I don't understand. Okay, here's the first thing. Is I've watched you play baseball for 16 years, and I know how you play. So there's no way, it's instinct for you. You are not capable of taking the 3 seconds to slow yourself down to not dive for the ball or slide into second. You're not capable of that because it's instinct for you. You play the game like a real baseball player.
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not even capable of making that decision during the game. You can't do that.
I have turned into that pathetic, overly serious athlete.
Well, we could find video of the McCann event that you did for the Rally Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember what you did? I mean, you completely tore your leg up. It had cuts all over your leg.
From what? The baseball game? Or from the soccer?
Yeah. Because you slid.
Yeah, you were a little intense at that game. We could probably find video. Yeah.
See, and you're the playing second base, and dude was the shortstop.
Is that Andrew Jones? Was the shortstop?
Yes.
We turned two.
And you were
what do you think is going to happen at the break?
You turned two Andrew Jones. How do you not play at your best?
Exactly.
You have to.
But that's your. Who do you think you're going to be playing with?
You must. And you're the guy that lets the cup bleed a little.
This is a ridiculous conversation because I don't know why you would want to take that kind of risk.
Baby, are we going to do this right now? I'm telling you right
surgery.
Now.
You just had the surgery. I don't know why you would take the risk. It makes absolutely no sense. And your little argument about playing on a real baseball field will happen again.
Mm-hmm. What I'm
don't
saying,
act like that's not going to happen.
Did you hear the condescending? The little baseball field.
And you've done it before. This isn't like you haven't played on a real baseball field before in a celebrity softball game.
I have never played in a major league baseball stadium.
You did? Yes, you did.
Where?
You didn't. It was either it was Dallas.
No, I never played in Texas
Stadium.
Yes,
you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
My butt's going numb.
Uh-oh.
And why don't you take some listener calls like you do for everybody else?
Hey, what if we...
Okay, hold on. Okay, wait. Hold on. Let me take these. Hold on.
What if we got... instead of doing the baseball game, Bert, what if we did the little... that thing, the Napa Cap shuffle thing that Mark does?
You race around with the tools.
Yeah.
I am so insulted by the lack of confidence.
Come on,
does Mary Poppins look so bad now?
Hey, Nikki, good morning. You're on Q100. Hey.
Good morning. I love your show.
I
think you should play in a baseball game. Right. I've played rugby for like 9 years. I played every kind of sport you can imagine. I've broken so many bones. And, I'm going to play sports till I die. And if that means I'd rather sacrifice, my health a little bit and have fun and live life to the fullest than to, give up the things that I love. So
How old are you?
I'm 35. And I know people that are playing sports like that who are in their late 40s, so.
You have kids?
She's gone. Here is
Stacy. Just so you know, when you ask Bert to pick up phone calls, he can screen them.
See, look at you. See, this again is another point against you because here's Kristen telling me not to play. Go ahead, Kristen.
Okay, let's have a little come to Jesus meeting here.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The pain that you will be in when you injure yourself is not going to be remotely as painful as your wife having to go through this again, your kids having to go through this again. This is going to be really, really hard on your family, and you're choosing to do this.
You guys are talking to me like I'm drunk driving. It's a celebrity softball game where you go at about 30%.
It's a celebrity softball game with the Braves. Like the example that came up earlier was that you were playing second and Andrew Jones was playing shortstop.
Right. I didn't die for a ball. I just turned two.
And Brian McCann was your team captain. Right. You don't think that's going to happen at the Braves celebrity baseball game.
But that's not a dangerous play. That's not going all out crazy.
Your three-year-old was so mentally scarred by your knee surgery that he started peeing his pants again.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one to debate.
Yeah, so you're going to go back and risk it again and get hurt again, and who knows what he'll start doing after that.
Jen wants me to get into a fight so badly. You should see how she's egging me on. Just
got to go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
She left.
She's pissed.
Uh-oh. Is she gone?
She's angry.
Gone. Well, I don't think
but
you should play the game. I think
play
you should take up smoking.
In June.
There's one. I'm telling you, if my physical therapist says I can play in the game, then I can play in the game.
I'm not arguing.
There's the
I just peed in my pants.
Save that.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Hey, what? Dr. Tom. Hold on 1 second, okay?
Your surgeon.
It's your surgeon.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, bud.
Okay, now Tom McQuayle,
Dr. Yes. Tom,
you obviously have enough confidence in the knee that you have constructed that at the end of June, if my physical therapist, also resurgence, credible, says that I can play, I should be able to play in this game.
What game are you talking about?
It's a celebrity softball game played inside the stadium, the TED. And there's no diving, there's no cutting.
When was the surgery?
I don't know.
Listen to his voice. He's disgusted.
Hold on, let me look it up.
He's disgusted at you. It's like, oh, jeez.
But here's what I need to stress is that it's not a soccer game. It's a baseball game. Just running around.
No, hold on. Let me look at your date here.
Why does everybody in your life sound tired of you? Stacy sounds tired of you. Your doctor sounds tired of you.
Do you remember when your surgery was?
It must have been 7-8 weeks ago.
I can probably look it up on our...
Oh, March in June you want to do this?
Stacy's screaming at the radio the date of the...
You take a risk for losing the graft if you do that. You can. It takes about 7-8 months for the bone to grow into the graft.
Yeah.
Am I on the radio?
Yeah, you're on the radio right now, dude.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Hey, Dr. Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, it takes about 7-8 months for the bone to grow into the graft. So if you do that, you take a chance on that graft slipping. And then you'd have to have another surgery.
Will you explain to Wendy specifically what you mean by the bones slipping off the ground?
We're good.
Wendy, do you want to know what we did?
Absolutely not.
Nope. So if that graft slips, then I have to have surgery again, then I'm out again for another like 5 or 6 months or whatever?
Yeah, basically, because on the tibial side, really all the screw does is use friction to hold it in place until the bone grows in. So,
can he be the bat boy?
You can be the bat boy, or you can even be the water boy.
So there's just what you really want me to be careful about is cutting on it in any way, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the rehab process, I mean, you can run on concrete, you know, on a treadmill, anything that you know you're not going to misstep, but something like that.
What about like wet grass?
Wet grass is an issue, yeah.
Or like,
why are you planning on watering the field before I plant on it?
Or like field sand, like, you know, that would be between the bases.
Say again?
Like sand that would be between the bases.
It's called clay, dude.
Yeah, the clay.
Wow.
Red
clay.
Yeah, well, anything, especially when you're rounding the bases and stuff like that. I mean, you really take a chance on losing the graft.
Well,
hey, Tom, do you want to play in a celebrity softball game at the end of June? We have an opening.
A slot just opened up. All right, Tom.
I probably can't either, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right.
I can't play in that game now. I can't. If he says that I can't play, I can't play.
Hmm. Tom just pwned you, dude.
Man.
You can
to
be the
play
water
in a Major League Baseball stadium?
Dude, it's
wow.
Time. Maybe you can all vindication. Your doctor said no.
Yeah, doctor says no can
next
do.
Next year.
No can do.
If there is one next year.
There will be one. If not, depending on how the Braves are doing, you could possibly play second base.
And think about it. You'll have your reality TV show by then, so then you'll be a real celebrity. I really want you to play next year.
I'm equally as exhausted by you people.
This is The Bert Show. It's The Bert Show.
All right, so this was pretty cool. I mean, because I am really, really interested to follow up here. As we get this email, this was on Wednesday, April 21st, and I think it was Melissa that came in here and wanted to talk to people that had it figured out. Life figured out
because I had dinner with Katie and I had dinner with a couple friend of ours, and the guy was telling us about someone he had run across who was a bartender for just a few months out of the year, and he only was at this bar to get money to travel. So basically the reason he was a bartender is because he didn't have to sign a contract. The bar knew that he was going to be leaving for the majority of the year and that he would return again, and that he only worked there to make money to travel across the world. So when he's there at the bar working, he's in a great mood because he only works for a minority of the year, and then the rest of the year he is traveling all over the world. You know, and I just felt like maybe he's got it figured out because he's content all the time.
So we asked the question, like, who's got it figured out? We took all sorts of calls, a cross-section of calls, but the underlying theme seemed to be like, if you're miserable at work, man, then get the hell out because mm-hmm. the rest of your life is just going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
So we will call her Jill. Shot me an email that day, and she basically said this was the sign she was looking for. I think she was in her car on the way to work.
Okay.
And our conversation was the sign that she was looking for.
Right.
Jill, do I have that right?
Yeah. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. I thought you only talked to crazy people. It's so funny.
What's up? I'm on the radio. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? And just so you know, everybody who calls us don't think they're the crazy one.
I know. They're like, I can't believe
I'm talking to you because everybody else is so crazy.
Well, yours isn't even crazy. I was just really, first of all, tell people exactly what you wrote us. And I was just curious if you followed through with it.
Oh, I definitely did. It was the best thing I ever did.
You did.
Wow.
I was sitting at my desk, actually, when I emailed y'all, and my heart was beating out of my chest because I had wanted to quit for so long. I had my resignation letter written for weeks, and I just hadn't turned it in. And that day, I was just like, I really want to, but I was so nervous I could not bring myself to do it. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And then all of a sudden, y'all started talking about people who are miserable at their jobs and how it makes you your whole life miserable and affects everything. And I could relate to every single thing that y'all were saying. And I was like, okay, I have to do this. I have to do this for the sake of my own happiness. I have to do it right now. And so actually first I got it from my desk and I walked outside and I called to follow up on a job I had interviewed for the week before that. And they offered me the job right there over the phone. And
I got nice. So, well done.
And then I was so excited that I walked straight into my boss's office and handed her the letter and said, I'm going to be leaving pretty soon. I just accepted another position, and it was just like all this weight came off my shoulders, and I have never felt that happy in such a long time. And
that's awesome.
Wow. Congratulations.
Did you have to work out like your 2 weeks, or did you just leave that day?
Well, I did give a 2 weeks notice because I always thought that's just what you're supposed to do, even though in some situations it can be really hard to do that. And I lasted a week before I just walked out.
2 weeks to notice I'm gone.
You were that miserable.
I couldn't make it.
So if you weren't listening to the show that morning, you probably would have quit, but it probably would have been another week or another two, you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. I might not have called the other job, or it might have just happened differently, but it definitely inspired me to do it. Like I was listening, and I was like, this is a sign from God, and I just immediately felt calmer and just went in there and did it. And
there's been 100 movies about this, you know, like the signs are always in front of you.
Right.
Either you choose to see them or you just let them go, you know, and you paid attention, I guess, to the sign that day. Everything worked out. I love that you got on the phone immediately with the potentially other couple, the other company, and they said you got the gig.
Yeah, that was the best part. I think I was so nervous about quitting because technically I didn't have anything else to do that, but it all happened so perfectly. It's
good for you. That's congratulations.
Awesome. Did you start the new job yet?
No, I start tomorrow. I've been enjoying some time off.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good for you.
That's a great story. I'm so glad that we followed up with you and it turned out okay.
Thank y'all. It's so nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. I was convinced that when we made this call that you were going to say, nah, it sounded great when I wrote the email, but then I went into the boss's office and I chickened out.
Well, it makes it a lot easier not to chicken out when you have the other job offer on the
table.
Agreed. You know you got another job. You know you're going to have a salary coming in. You can go ahead and tell them to take that job and shove it.
Hey, Jill, good luck, and thanks for the follow-up.
You're welcome. Thank y'all.
All right. A nice story on the Bird Show.
Yay! Yay! It's possible. It's really possible. Here, Bird Show.